My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Zaporizhzhia Nuclear Power Plant. I welcome Henry Sokolsky, the Executive Director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center, to comment on what we know about Zaporizhzhia Nuclear Power Plant in the hands of the Russian invaders. But at the same time, Mr. Grassi, the head of the IAEA, is calling attention to the damage to the region after the destruction of the dam in the Dnieper. And the cooling pond, something we talked about prior, but it's Mr. Grassi now saying the cooling pond is adequate in the immediate term, but not the medium or long term. Henry, a very good evening to you. What does the cooling pond mean to the security of the of Zaporizhzhia Nuclear Power Plant, medium term, long term? Thank you.
In the immediate, you have to hope that nobody explodes anything that will drain the pond, because it's the main source of cooling water for the one reactor that's on normal shutdown, which means it's pretty warm and needs plenty of cooling water. I think in the long run, there are alternative ways of keeping that reactor cool as it perhaps goes on cold shutdown. No one has decided to put it on cold shutdown yet. As much as both the IAEA and Ukraine wants it, the Russians have decided against that. Meanwhile, the Russians are reducing their numbers, according to reports, there at the plant. And we see the spectacle of the Ukrainians doing radiological fire drills to get ready for the possibility that something bad might happen. That's quite a collection of developments for just a few days. And we'll have to wait and see just exactly which development is the one that will forecast the future.
We have this statement from Mr. Grossi to France 24. It is obvious that in the context of the ongoing counteroffensive and the military activities there, Zaporizhzhia Oblast, the combat there, the plant is increasingly fragile and open to damage in case of an exchange of fire. Is anything new there, or is he restating something that's been true for some time?
I think mostly the latter. What's mysterious is that as he says this about reactors at Zaporizhzhia, he's holding international fora promoting the construction of more reactors, not only in other places, but you guessed it, in the region of Eastern Europe. So there's a kind of schizophrenic attention to the safety question of reactors, depending on whether you're in the promotion business or prevention of disaster business. And unfortunately, the IAEA is in both businesses and therefore can't quite get its narrative straight as to which one should take precedence over the other.
We leave Ukraine and head to Australia. BHP Group Limited is calling for Australia to lift a longstanding ban on nuclear power as the country moves to decarbonize its electricity system, said the chief technical officer at BHP. Nuclear, quote, must be part of the conversation. I put this together with a report that Albanese, the Prime Minister of Australia, Sunak, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, and President Biden and the Biden administration are in conversations to expand AUKUS, which we all recall deals with a nuclear-powered submarine, Virginia-class, the attack submarine of the U.S. fleet to be leased to Australia out of Western Australia, based out of Fremantle, the port near Perth. However, Henry, I put all this together to comment that Australia is walking the walk that would take you to nuclear power and nuclear energy and nuclear powered submarines, nuclear powered power plants. Do you think that's where they're going?
I would say they're talking the talk, not walking the walk. And the reason I say that is one of the things that you raised was a meeting of top level AUKUS people to transmorph AUKUS or emphasize an aspect of AUKUS that has nothing to do with the submarines. What was interesting about the meeting wasn't that they were emphasizing the nuclear syllable, if you will, of the agreement, but raising the prospect that perhaps France, South Korea, and Japan could join on collaborations on projects of high technology and defense implications that were non-nuclear. As far as the submarines, nuclear submarines, there is reason to believe that we're beginning already, I suspect, to work on redeploying our own submarines to operate out of Australia's base in the north. But each additional nuclear submarine step is exponentially more difficult. And I think they're looking for an off-ramp, frankly, to keep the diplomatic energy of AUKUS from exhausting itself on the nuclear submarine project. That a mining company, which is what you refer to, that mines uranium, would want to lift the ban, which has been certainly a celebrated political position of the opponents of the current government. I don't know is that exciting or new per se. I still think the Labor government in Australia is just not interested in promoting nuclear civil power yet.
We go from Australia to Belarus, where you will note in the news these last days, we're told Prigozhin, the leader of a mutiny, is now sought and achieved exile in Belarus. Belarus is commanded by a dictator, Alexander Lukashenko, and he made odd remarks in these last days. President Alexander Lukashenko said that he has instructed his high-ranking officials to develop an algorithm, that's in quotes, algorithm for the use of, quote, nuclear weapons deployed by Russia. He also indicates that the weapons have been deployed. But the puzzle is we have none of this confirmed. Henry, do you know what he's talking about? What is an algorithm for a tactical nuclear weapon?
I have no idea other than that it's his way of saying, if you think I don't have a desire to make you think that I am the one who's going to determine when these weapons are released for use, Let me play with you and suggest that Putin isn't in control of these weapons as much as I will be. Now, this is pretty wild stuff because both Russia and Belarus are members of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, which has the first two articles of which insist that no weapons held by the weapon states, that would be including Russia, can ever be shared with a non-weapon state, and that would be Belarus, unless they are under the control of the Russians. Now, nobody much understands what the word control might mean specifically. And this is stirring the pot. The Chinese watching what the Russians did are not happy. Why? They're petrified, rightly or wrongly, that the United States is about to share nuclear weapons and redeploy them to Japan and South Korea. I don't think that's at all in the cards, but that's what the Chinese are frightened of, and they've said so explicitly in New York in March. So I think this kerfuffle about the head of Belarus saying, you know, he's working on an algorithm is worth watching. The review of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty is coming up. I believe it's going to occur within the next 18 months. So inquiring minds want to know, does the word control deserve the attention of the world community to clarify? What would that mean? The Chinese are of the view that we need to, the United States, remove all of the nuclear weapons in NATO to be in compliance with their view of what a proper understanding of control would be. There's a lot of history that suggests that's not right. We're opening up sort of a new Pandora's box here with this news story, I think.
Henry Sikorski is the executive director of the Nonproliferation Policy Education Center. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Beck.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.